BRLIP.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, minute or two past the top of the hour, and back to Churchill Downs we go. Back-to-back Churchill conversations, Shap, and now joined by Mart. He's a year... we just lost Mart. He's a year older than when we last spoke to him. And because, of course, Mart's birthday, right after mine. And... So, yeah, no problem. There we go. And he's back. I was just telling everybody, you're a year older since we last spoke.
So are you.
That's true.
To refresh everyone's memory, in case we haven't mentioned it for the 13th time, you're one day older than me. Like, in real life, you're one day older.
Well, we're the proverbial brothers from another mother. Twins that were born at 11:59 and 12:01.
Yeah, that's about my mother of all people was talking last night about me being born. I guess because the conversation was about all my great nieces and nephews being born now, and she was saying that I was supposed to be born, I don't know, on the 25th or something, and then she went on the 20th, and then that night, and then had me 5:30 in the morning on the 21st.
Well, that's funny, and so you were just eager. You were just you. There must have been a good race or something to get you going, get you.
Out. Yeah.
How was Thanksgiving? What? Because we didn't get a pre-Thanksgiving conversation with you.
It was great. I mean, we all got together at my brother's Paul's last night, and there's I don't know maybe 25 of us.
Wow.
The Talamos and my daughter Molly and Kelly's in Oregon, but I'm going to see her in about a week in California. We're going out there to visit Amy. And my sister Susan, her triplet boys who are coming over to my house tomorrow to rake my millions of leaves that are in my yard. And I'd ask them if they still charge $12.50 an hour, and yeah, it's a big joke because I overpay them. But as to keep them on retainer, keep them coming back. They're all freshmen in college now, so I got to really work harder at it.
That's so great. Well, I'm glad you. That's a big crowd. I had a dozen, and that was plenty. That kept me busy for 2.5-3 days. Mart, I do want to ask you because otherwise I'll forget the what's your future wager, sire wager thoughts going in.
You know what, Vic, since Churchill has kind of evicted us from their premises, we haven't really been paying that close of attention to it. I might bear down on Sunday when a lot of the dust settles on this Clark today and the stars of tomorrow and take a hard and fast look at it. But I do think it's commendable, and it harkens me back to all the conversations I had many times with John Asher. They finally have gone from the 23 plus the field to 39 plus the field. And I think that can only make it a more alluring wager for people out there who are wanting to dive in, especially this early date. I think it really makes I think it really makes it more of an attractive wager.
No, agreed. And of course, you mentioned John Asher conversations, and of course, for years, Steve Crist, was a huge advocate of expanded options on this front. So, all right, let's turn to the action. And I touched on a few things earlier with Schaap, including played hard. What a year for Phil Bauer, Marty.
I couldn't believe how crazy they went crazy in the winner's circle. I mean, Richard Rigney was screaming for about 20 seconds at the top of his lungs after played hard crossed under the wire last night. And Phil and his wife, Ashley, and their three kids, and there were probably, I don't know, 50 people in the winner's circle. They were acting like they had won the Derby. And good for them. That's what I say, good for them. Let it all loose. Phil was so, I'm not going to say uptight, but you'll talk to trainers anywhere, and when they have the big favorite, this filly was 2-5, they feel a lot of undue pressure, like it's almost a relief to win. So when she did run her race, when they drew it up exactly like that, for her to break, make the lead, settle nicely for Rosario, and go on with it. And, when that all happened, just the way they thought it out, they just all really had a great Thanksgiving. And good for them, because Richard Rigney, to his credit, has put a lot of time and money and blood, sweat, and tears into this game. And
yep.
I think that's the main reason Phil was as happy as he was. So now when they all break camp here in a few days, Phil's going to take some of his better horses to the fairgrounds. I'm not sure about Played Hard. She might. I don't know if she'll be turned out or what, but I don't know if this has been announced. I wrote something about it today that will be in the Sunday form. The Trackside Training Center, i.e. the Sports Spectrum, as we all knew it from years ago, it's going to be open this winter for the first time in many years. I was asking, I had a long conversation yesterday with Tyler Picklesheimer, the longtime racing secretary at Turfway, about that. He said it's probably been 15 years since Churchill, now the Churchill, of course, owns Turfway. They're going to have an extra, four or five, I don't know how many hundred horses over at the Spectrum. And Phil's one of those guys who's going to leave some of his horses here to train there. So that's an additional pool of horses from which Tyler Picklesheimer can draw horses and make the Turfway cards even better. So anyway, all's well that ends well for Phil a lot of people are happy for him because he's such a good guy.
You had Delica win for Al Stahl, and barely a second choice, wire-to-wire under Brian Hernandez Jr., takes the Cardinal.
I was kind of surprised that she was not the favorite. I mean, she'd proven herself a number of times over the turf course, whereas Adventuring, I guess it was the power of Godolphin and Brad Cox that made Adventuring the favorite, but given a head-to-head, I would have taken Delica every time in that spot. But of course, my brother had to pass the plate. She ran her last race yesterday. She never made an impact. She was only like, I think, 5 or 6 to 1 in there, but they just didn't come back to her. And hats off to Al Stahl. He's done a tremendous job with Delica. She's now won more than $1.4 million for Paul Varga, who's one of the all-time greats, the retired CEO of Brown-Forman, Sanex grad, class of 81. He was here with his family and all their friends. Al was conspicuous by his absence. His wife, Nicole, and son, Albert, and daughter, Greta, they were all here. But Al likes to be where he can train in short pants, as he says. I have friends who only play golf in short pants. Well, Al says he only wants to train horses in short pants. So he's already down in New Orleans, and he was conspicuous by his absence. But his job had been finished anyway, and a lot of happy people after that one too.
I do want to mention one performance that might have been missed or gone under the radar. How about that fifth race maiden group, Mart? And I don't know if you've done the figs yet. The two-year-old fillies going six in the fifth race. And you better take a look, as they say, at George R. Arnold II, because Rusty's got himself a loaded wagon, and it could be a huge weekend for him yet. But Jim and Susan Hill's homebred distorted humor filly, Ruthless Rua, in her second start, 87 buyer figure for this maiden winner in a romping fashion.
Yeah, that was a great race. I like a Rusty Horse as my best bet today in the last, Shady Road. But, Rusty went back-to-back yesterday. He had a good second with the gray filly, Iliogami.
That's right.
And he's going to go to Palmetto's, like you said, loaded for bear. So, he kind of lays low a little bit down at Gulfstream over the winter, but otherwise he's got a good group of horses right now.
Well, and the other two maiden races we should mention in the 9th and the 12th, Invulnerable, first-time starter, wire-to-wire for Joe Sharp at 8-1 for the Highlander team as 68 buyer, as well as Jimmy Baker, somebody who always deserves mention and more horses, nearly wire to wire with Secret Statement, a run happy filly for Candy and partners, and 68 buyer for that filly as well. So that was your
Speaking of the race at Joe Sharp one, I had a couple of pushes on the filly that ran third in there, and she did have some trouble. She was kind of bogged down along the rail for quite a spell, and still ran third. Was it a filly or a colt? Uncle Reg, I think, was the horse's name for Michael McCarthy. Anyway, that's a horse worth taking a look at, as you would say.
All right, let's turn to Friday. Get some plays in here on the Clark card.
Well, I've got Proxy picked, but man, I would love to see Eric Reed win this with Rich Strike. And Jenny Reese a month or so ago called me the embedded reporter with the Rich Strike camp, which I thought was kind of funny. But I have gotten to be pretty good friends with Eric, since he won the Derby a little bit more than 6 months ago. And I think this would cap a great year for him. He is the program favorite. I have a dollar bet with one of my editors, Eric Erwin Cohen. He said he thought that Ridge Strike would be favored, like the morning line says. I thought that Wes Willpower might come favored again with the power of Brad Cox and the way he won off in the Fayette. And he looks like, unless Injunction or maybe Last Samurai can run with him, and it is down to field of six, by the way. Trademark comes out to run instead Sunday in the Commonwealth turf against three-year-olds. It does look like Wes Willpower should be the speed unless Injunction goes and gets him early. But I think the scenario that Eric and the fans of Rich Strike are hoping for is that there will be a contested pace, and that Rich Strike, who, of course, has run huge over this track, not only the Derby, but the Lucas Classic here in October, and even if you go way back to when Joe Sharp still had him for the Maiden 30, he's run well every time here at Churchill, and Eric says that he just kind of perks up and knows where he is under the Twin Spires. And I'd like to see Rich Strike run a winning race.
Well, anything that allows Wes Willpower to motor on the front end only enhances his chances. The other Cox is okay too, Folsom. And, interesting. I don't know. I don't know if he. I think he's got to. Doesn't he have to approach this like they did in the Lucas Classic and stay a little close?
I mean, I guess so. I think a lot of it will depend on what Bayerano does with Injunction. I mean, Last Samurai was he chased Wes Willpower in the Fayette, but not really. I mean, Wes Willpower was open links the whole way, so. I guess that Sonny Leone will need to stay within hailing distance. You know, in the Lucas Classic, he was less than five lengths behind the whole way.
Yeah.
And then he made that powerful run look like a dead winner with 100 yards to go. But, that was not to be. And that's a whole nother can of worms that we're not going to open.
No,
but,
exactly.
Anyway, Eric told me yesterday I was with him as Rich Strike was schooling in the paddock, and he goes, man, I can't wait for Monday, because that's when he gets to go out into the woods. You know, all this will be behind him. He's gonna they're talking about the stud deals, and I know that Mike Lakow is calling Eric a lot saying, will you run in the Pegasus? And then he's got kind of pressure on him to run both the Saudi and the Dubai race. I think Eric, giving us druthers, would just kind of sit out, just give him a little time, keep him at Mercury. I'd ask him if he'd be turned out over the winter. He said, no, they'll just keep him at Mercury. He's got a turnout pack there. But otherwise, his preference would be just to give him some time and come back in the Dubai race and go from there.
What are your thoughts about the Mrs. Revere?
I do acknowledge Brad Cox's hope that Bubble Rock is the only speed, and she did run well in the Valley View. I mean, she held the lead a long way. That I think overall that might have been a little bit tougher field than what we got in the Mrs. Revere today. But, I happened to watch this race with Eric in a gin mill in Versailles one weekday at Keeneland, and quality star number 10. It was the finale on the October 21st card. She came flying home, and her 78 buyer from that maiden win is pretty comparable to the top buyers. And here, if you overlook California Angel and her 88 at QE2, I think California Angel is the deserving favorite, but I'm going with Talamo and Quality Star and Paulo Lobo for an upset in Mrs. Revere.
Very nice. 12-1 on Quality Star. And Shap made a case for Lovely Princess. And California Angel, she lifted her head here for George Leonard as well. It's a well-matched field. I want to ask you, Mart, you mentioned your best bet in the nightcap. What are you doing in the 10th, which is a terrific group?
Well, I've got the scratches here for you, and it's an original field of 16, but take out numbers 2, 6, 13, and 16. And in the giddiness of the moments last night in Thanksgiving, my brother kept talking about Talamo having the open air outside box on Zip and Gigi. But that's not to be, because both 14 Seal Beach and 15 Max Time with Lannery to ride, they both draw in. So now Zip and Gigi starts from the 10th, from post 10. I've got Call Me Fast on top here with Zip and Gigi second. And Milliken, who's been quite the enigma, started out like gangbusters and has been beaten as an odds-on favorite remarkably. Four straight times, and he comes back first time gelding for Ian Wilkes, who had a $43 winner yesterday. But he was cut out to be a good horse. I thought that Milliken might even be the favorite in here, but I'm going to go with Puhich, who, by the way, is one of the guys who's staying at Turfway. They got a whole bunch of different, besides Cox, Ward, Asmussen, Maker, with their other strings of staying at Turfway. You've got guys like Puhich and Arnaud Delacour and Jonathan Thomas all committing to having strings at Turfway this winter.
Wow. Wow. This racing's going to be great at Turfway. How about that?
70,000 maiden. About half of it's KTDF, so you've got to have a Kentucky bred. But, 70,000 MSWs to start out at Turfway. All the stakes, I think, are minimum of a buck and a quarter. So they're off and running. They're just a complete reversal from the as Andy Beyer once wrote, moribund days of 8 to 10 years ago at Turfway Park.
Well, in that 10th race, I had interest in the Paulo Lobo and that graphic detail who comes out, and we already talked about Angkor earlier with Scott Shapiro. But Milliken, I discussed, and I completely agree with you about Milliken's potential in here. Seal Beach drawing in is a real consideration for Maker and Luis Saez, the 14. Don't get caught watching the paint dry.
Yeah, I hear it. Both Call Me Fast, he was second, Seal Beach was third, behind Marsalis, who came back and won here for on Wednesday. Yeah.
Well, speaking of Marsalis, let's talk about this Stars of Tomorrow card. Marty McGee, of course, a star of yesterday, a star of today, and a star of tomorrow, too.
Come on, Beck.
Mart, we're going to do first? We're going to do our favorite game, which is talk about the siblings. Boy, there are some big names.
Well, the most notable one, is in race 12. You got a three-quarter to Rachel Alexandra, because the sire is Bold D'Oro, who's the son of Medaglia D'Oro.
That's right.
Medaglia D'Oro and Lotta Kim was the mating on Rachel Alexander. So Itzos, number 6, race 12 tomorrow, Churchill, the finale, Under the Lights, 2-year-old colt by Bolt D'Oro at a Lotta Kim. So $1.4 million for the OXO Equine of Larry Best. Paulo Lobo, not Talamo. Every time I talk to Paulo Lobo, I have to say Talamo. just because I like to remind, you know, they go way back to California. But anyway, I'll be interested to see what kind of play this horse gets those draws in the finale, having worked only up at the Thoroughbred Training Center in Lexington.
Well, I just went to look to see what you did in there, and you're interested in Talladega.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times slough races, you can just completely put a line through them. Talladega was extremely well regarded in the opener on the Stars of Tomorrow Day. Didn't run a jump, but you know, it's a new day. He's got a different distance, going from 5/8 to 7 furlongs. Hopefully, a fast track, and it'll be a lot of different things for him.
The other names, and we got to a few of them earlier, and Lady Irene, the half to both Mendelssohn and Beholder, of course, for Fred Mitchell, who gave this horse to Eddie Keneally. And Eddie, as good as anybody with win early pedigrees. And so take a look at Lady Irene. She's 10-1 with Corey Lannery, Eddie's go-to. This is in that 7-furlong fourth. And then, of course, Medaglia Forever, the Fipke homebred that our man Rusty has. And Rusty also has got a sibling that is notable because we loved Flapjack. And Flapjack's little brother going to go 1 1/8 in that fifth race, Mart. That's regimental. And see if he can't earn a stripe. Regimental stripes for those of you that like cravats.
God, you got a lot of dad jokes today, Vic.
What did you
all
do?
Right, what else are we doing here? I'm going to give you my stakes pick, and then you're going to let me go. Hoosier Filly, I mean, Amos cannot say enough good things about her. So I think she's going to be 3-5-ish in the Golden Rod. I think she'll win. And then I'm going to Talamo again for Dale. Everybody loves her. Dale's on the Derby trail with Cyclone Mischief. Even last night, you know, I'd already made my picks yesterday, but Joe mentioned to me, he goes, man, I really like this 2-year-old at Dale's.
How about
Cyclone
that?
Cyclone Mischief. So, yeah, you know, that was unsolicited that he told me that. So, yeah, hopefully I made the right pick there.
Well, you know, and just missed, actually, in the debut with Churchill. Some people might be put off that he got beat at Churchill and won at Keeneland. Instant Coffee comes back out of that Breeders' Futurity, which has, you know, proven to be a fairly key race if we go back to Breeders' Cup. I think people are being dismissive, it seems, of Curly Jack, and I don't think that's fair. Curly Jack comes back, and if you like horses that win at Churchill, let's see, he's 2-2.
Yeah, you know, I didn't write about this. I didn't really have the time or space to write about it, but I did talk to Amos about him after talking to him about Hoosier Filly, and he mentioned something to the extent of maturity issues with Curly Jack and competitive issues and things like that. So I think he still holds out a lot of hope for him. Maybe the horse is a little too eager and close early in the juvenile. But I think he is the only horse in here. Let me scan it. I think he is the only one coming back from the juvenile. Yes, he is. But we do have some horses, as you said, out of Breeders' Futurity earlier in the Kingdom meet. And it really makes for an interesting assortment of these as we go forward into the winter.
Well, and you know, there is one horse that's doing something interesting. That is going to be a price. And Asmussen actually won with a price. Was it yesterday? 16-1 did I see? Was that an Asmussen? It might have been somebody
they all
else.
Run together.
Yeah, I know.
We've run two of them this week, and we got three more to go.
Well, Gigante, the 4 in here, is a Not This Time out of the Empire Maker Summertime Green. And this one bred by Bill Backer's widow, Ann Mudge Backer, and, of course, Smitten Farm. What an interesting set of races this horse has run, Mart. Breaks the maiden at Colonial going a mile with a moderate fig, 57 buyer, and then Asmussen, who actually had debuted this one on the turf, goes back to the turf. He wins the Kitten's Joy, and then things don't go right in the Bourbon, and now goes back to the dirt. This horse is going to be a price, and this is a kind of a mysterious, a little bit of a mysterious set of PPs. Gigante intrigues me a little bit.
I love you bringing up Bill Backer. That was from my formative years in Maryland where Jack Moberly trained for him.
How about that? Yep.
Ultimately, Barkley Tagg did.
Yep.
But if you Google Bill Backer, I'm pretty sure he was the guy who came up with the – he was an advertising man.
That's
came up
correct.
With the Coke and a Smile slogan. I think he was the – who was the husband on Bewitched? He was the Darren Stevens. In real life. You know, back in the 70s, coming up with that good stuff.
Well, and you're also sort of burying part of the lead. long time rumored to be the inspiration as well for Don Draper in Mad Men.
Did not know that.
Absolutely. I talked to him about it. In fact, it's on our Best Of page. And he was fascinating. In fact, he paused. At that time, Backer must have been 80 something, and he had a business. He was in a business meeting, and he took a half hour break and talked to us. And it's one of the great thrills. I also got to meet him at Saratoga. But Backer, it's actually I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing. I think is the
immensely popular. Well, for those who are not old enough to remember that.
Also responsible for good for Campbell's.
All right, buddy. Have a great weekend. And I'm going to California on Wednesday, so you're giving me off next Friday or next week. Yeah, and we'll talk soon enough.
Marty McGee, everybody. There it is. Thanks, Mart.
Thanks, buddy.
There we go, Marty McGee, and. We went off into the weeds, which is not unusual. exactly 10:30. So let me do this. I just heard from Nick. Nick he's been sick. He texted me the other night, and he and I have been on a funny schedule because, you know, I've been getting up crazy early, and he's been sick, and he's still sick. He said he begged off for later. So, no Nick today, all right? No NTAM. And Greinig's Greinig was on vacation this week. So, I've got to come up. Oh, boy. All right, I will tap dance and get you something for New York. We'll talk to Hammer at the top of hour three, though. We've also got, let's get to Scully, and I think Callie Francois is going to join us. You got nice stakes. You got two today at Laurel, three tomorrow. So we'll get the Laurel Stakes in as well. All right, but let me get. I think we got to get to James here because if it gets too close to 11, it becomes problematic. So let me bring James Scully in, and probably get. Boy, I mean, it's basically this is inside Churchill Downs today, as it turns out. We will get from James. We will get. I'm anxious to hear his thoughts. Nobody wants to talk. Nobody wants to talk future wagers. It seems for whatever reason. Which surprises me a little bit. Of course, you have till Sunday. Don't forget. I mean, it's not. And I do want to look. I do want to see what the figs look like on that front in addition. So that that's also – and usually I would think maybe today the Thoregraph will put out the package – for the the future wager. So let me try. James, I'm not having trouble getting James now, too. All right, so maybe we should go to Callie, because I know she's clear. For a visit, all right? I also want to get to, well, we got those. Yeah, I guess we got most. I'm just looking at the other maiden races. You know, there are two other small stakes as well at Churchill. We're focused on the Goldenrod and the Kentucky Jockey Club, but there's the Ed Brown and the Fern Creek that got 6 and 7 respectively. These are sprint stakes for the two-year-olds. Cox has got is going to have a very short price, though, I think, in the Fern Creek. That Key of Life. Even money. Even money on the morning line. And a little bit more wide open in the Ed Brown. It's one of these two cards, but both the beginning and the end of the season, the meet. I love these two. I always print out every race because you never know. Kind of taking a wait and see on how the Stars of Tomorrow One group. They kind of came back with high 60s, low 70. Type figs. And so it's kind of a wait and see about how good the front half was. But like that one I told you about, that rusty filly from yesterday, that Ruthless Rua. Yeah. And she, you know, that was 6 furlongs. She's out of a mineshaft mare. So there's every reason to think she'll stretch out. That was her second start. She debuted at Keeneland. So 1 by 5 and change. And there's that man again, Martin Garcia. I'm telling you, I keep noting how Garcia, you know, keeps turning up. So, all right. Well, it doesn't look like James is going to turn up so quick. So we'll keep digging around for him. And in the meantime, let's go to Maryland. In fact, since we mentioned Maryland reference when it came to Marty, where of course he spent a good portion of his early career, and happy to bring in Callie Francois.
Hi, how's it going? Happy leftover day.
Well, not for you. You've got 7 pies in the freezer.
You want to know what's funny? Here's a funny story, Steve. We talked about this on Monday. I had a plan. And a lot of times, plans don't go exactly how they're supposed to. I go down this morning. I was at a Thanksgiving dinner last night, so I grabbed 2 pies and I brought those to my dinner as my contribution. So completely planning on going down to the kitchen basement where last year, stacks on stacks of pies. I sneaked down there this year, absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. So my plan just shot to hell. However, we do have a savior in this, where Frank Sommel had an extra pumpkin in his car, and he said, "I can't even look at this pie. Take it away from me." So Frank Sommel coming in at the last 16th to save my leftover after Thanksgiving celebrations.
Well, I do like how you brought pies that somebody else made. Did you pass those off at the dinner last night?
Oh, they knew. They completely knew that it was not me that made them, but regardless, they enjoyed them all the same. And I think that's what it's really all about. Do they enjoy what you're giving to them? Does it have to come from your hands? Not necessarily.
That's your approach.
I'm a walking permission slip to anybody who finds themselves in a similar situation to me. So there you have it.
Was it a big group?
No, it was a smaller group, but it was perfect. We ate. The table was quiet for a bit because everybody just dug in, and it was a handful of younger ones in the group, and then one pulled out a guitar, and it was just a great time.
Wow.
Yeah, it was very Thanksgiving-y.
Creating a new word. Perfect. I love it. Here's what we're looking forward to. You've got the Politely and the Bender today, and then tomorrow you got a Troika with the Dickie Small, the Safely Kept, and the City of Laurel, and they're all big full fields. That's a very nice sequence tomorrow, actually.
Tomorrow is going to be crazy. There is such good racing tomorrow in those three stakes. Like you said, full fields. And I'm looking at the odds for the Safely Kept right now. I'm just flipping through this, and the lowest shot on the board is a 7-2. And yeah, just there's so many things that are going to be happening tomorrow. But today we also have some things happening because the Howard and Sandra Bender Memorial, there's a scratch and there's a big one. There's actually two big scratches. One is in the number three, Where She Told Me to Go.
Oh, yeah.
Who was going to be your landslide favorite.
Yep.
And then the number seven, Twisted Ride. So that leaves me with Monday Morning QB, Monday Morning Quarterback. This horse was drifting out pretty decently this last effort out at Laurel. But I cut back in distance, and I think it's going to hit him in a perfect spot.
Nice. Now with Norm Cash, and that one made, was it, how old is he?
Norman Cash or the horse?
The horse.
He's a 2017, so he's a five-year-old?
Yeah, because he made a cameo on the Derby Trail 2 years ago.
He was second in the Discovery, but that was late November.
Yeah.
Second in the Frederico Tessio also that year as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, he just keeps. He won the Maryland Million Classic in 2020, but just coming back on a bit of a resurgence.
Who had him back then, Callie?
Butch Reed.
Okay. Yeah, yep. There we go. And of course, Butchie yesterday with the win with Riding with Biden at Parks. Nice. All right, so field of six in the Bender, and then what do we got in the Politely with Fee d'Esprit, Jerry Robb.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. You texted for those listening. Steve texted me this morning about being on the show, and I'm like, I don't really have an opinion because this is exactly what I'm talking about. I'm specifically talking about in the Politely Fee d'Esprit. I've always had faith in this filly, and then she's coming back off of a short break so well. Just really showing her stuff off in the Maryland Million to Staff last time out.
Yeah, she'll be tough. That's the appetizer.
I like that.
on the appetizer front. That's like in our fridge. There were four deviled eggs left. So this is like the four deviled eggs that we have left. Now let's get to the big main course. And tomorrow, the $300,000 stakes, two of them at 7/8 for the 3-year-olds. The fillies go first. The Safely Kept. What a nice group this is.
Oh, it is. It really is. I mean, I'm trying to remember which way I went because I put in my picks on the Laurel Park website, and then of course I wait until these scratches come out because I think in this field there will be a couple of scratches. And I mean, what's showing up? I like Divine Huntress, to be honest. I like that Grand Motion filly. When it comes to Charlestown runners, they really enjoy that track or they really don't. Mm-hmm. And so you get these results where they're, you know, fourth by 12 and a half lengths. And I'm like, well, it's Charlestown. You can't really take on it. And Angel Suarez is always riding well. He's 4 for 14 lately with Grand Motion out of second and two thirds there. So 17, 17, 17, let's see, excuse me. Sorry. I'm just doing some quick math. 7 for 14, 50% in the money on the dirt as of lately with Suarez and Motion together. So that's what I'm going. That's kind of one that I'm gearing on. Is if not on top, especially underneath.
Well, and I, boy,
you could go any direction in this race,
tough.
Really. It's so tough. I don't even know. I use Thorough Manager, and they've got a bunch of positive things to say about Bazinga C for Tim Kreiser, which I do as well. And whenever Tim Kreiser ships over to Laurel Park, he's coming with something fully loaded. He is 10 for 21 for win or in second as of late. So that's 50% play win in place lately. So that's, I mean, of course it's coming from a Penn National race, but it's a flashy number. You can easily see the attraction. So bring in Chappie for it though. Don't entirely love that, but hey, here we are.
That's for our friend Joe Besseker and Uncle
yes.
Buddy. I tell you, 8-1 price is right.
The price is right. I mean, and you know, I get, when you look at it, Chappie is getting some results out of this horse, so why not? Absolutely.
Do you get on Radical Right for Dale Capuano?
No, I don't. In fact, I just put my tack up for the winter yesterday. I got on, what did I do? I got on my second filly of the morning, and she was coming off of a 4-day break. She ran on Saturday, so she came off. She came back on the track in the dark jogging. She's sharp as all get out, and I got a face plant to the dirt that morning. So I was like, you know what? We're done for the winter. But no, Radical Right, he's doing really well, to be honest. I think that horse is going to be coming back with exactly the type of performance that we saw last time out in that optional 40. So my money, I'm going to have Radical Right in my 1-2.
Yeah, I just looking at this, those Radical Right and Uncle Buddy, Uncle Buddy's the right price at 8-1. Those are the two. Mm-hmm. And let me just look back. It's got a, where is,
what are you looking for?
I'm looking for, those are the two. I'm not gonna get more clever.
That's also, I mean, it's a bit of a wide open affair, but with such nice horses. So, I mean, there's definitely group separators. There are things that separate the group, but I mean, we're taught Uncle Buddy, Radical Right, Al Loves Josie, even Little Vic. One that's interesting. It'll be interesting to see what Twisted Ride comes up with. How Twisted Ride shows up. He gets that out. He gets a bit of that outside post. That's going to be interesting. It's throwing up some bomb numbers as of late. So, yeah, it's such an interesting field, and it's hard. It's not quite as tight as the Safely Kept, but there's definitely, you could go so wide on your ticket still. You could go so wide on a bet. Absolutely. There's so much to offer in this race.
Uncle Buddy for me, 8-1 is.
I'm Radical Right. Yeah. I'm going to go with Radical Right.
There we go.
Yeah.
All right, gets us to the Dickie Small and Our Nation on Parade. I guess it's a little tough to.
I'll say this right now.
Yeah.
I depending on my picks, I might or might not have this horse underneath. But I talked to Laura Lee Glazer about the horse coming into this race. I just was passing by around the track, and I said, but with this is American Doro and Ricky Silliman. And this is a girl that gets on these horses every morning. So she knows them. And I said, you ready for Saturday? It looks pretty tough. And she's like, he can handle it. Just very confident. I will just say that right now, put it on the record. 9-2, that will be, if anybody's going to surprise you with a price, it's going to be Laura Lee Glazer on a Ricky Silliman horse.
All right.
Which I see that horse popping up a little bit in price by the time the gates open. But I agree, Our Nation on Parade, he's going to be super tough to beat, especially second off of the claim for Jamie Ness. He's hitting at 37% with that as of late. So no question there.
You know, it's so funny. This came up earlier. Was it today or earlier this week? You look at American Doro, and here's a horse that Silliman, you know, who wins at a nice clip, was running on the grass and then ends up getting washed off in that October race, wins going a mile and an eighth off the turf, and then comes back, cuts back to the one-turn mile, and wins again in romping fashion. I mean, here's a horse, a four-year-old gelding by American Pharoah, out of Dagliadoro Mare, was cut out to be a nice horse, and was a modest purchase at Timonium going back to 2020. And it really feels like this is a horse that the best is yet to come on the main track.
Yes. And, I mean, it does help that I think the mile and an eighth, when it comes to Laurel Park specifically, the mile and an eighth and the one-turn mile, that does transfer very well for some reason here. But I don't disagree. I think we have more to come and more to see out of American Doro.
Huh.
I won't be surprised if two riders who might be getting their first stakes. William Humphrey on Norman Cash, Monday morning QB today, and it might be Laura Lee Glazer that I'm interviewing tomorrow for the Richard Small Stakes.
Tell us about Glazer. She's winning at a huge clip.
She specifically rides for Ricky for the most part and Ricky only, with the exception of one or two horses. So, I mean, listen, we don't have, and how fitting is it? Because we don't have Dickie Smalls anymore. Now, Dickie Small was responsible for the start of the career of both Rosie
yep.
and Forest Boyce.
Yep.
We don't, and so when I got to Maryland, when I was sent to Maryland, that was the summer. It was right after Dickie Smalls passed away unexpectedly. And how fitting would it be that a trainer who is riding his girl, I mean, it just like saying in the sense that he just has so much faith there, riding the girls, and how fitting would that be for Ricky and both Ricky and Laura Lee as a team to be winning this type of race? I mean, for me, that would be it's so cool. So very cool.
That is, and I'm glad I asked, and that is a nice story, and this horse feels like an emerging story just looking at the figs, because two breakthrough 90 buyers, paired up 93 with this move to the dirt, and it's kind of funny, and it might be, you know, you get a lot of fitness running on the grass, and Silliman just seems to have a different horse here at the end of his four-year-old season.
Yes, and it's funny. I was also, what was I just about to say? Oh, it just slipped my mind. But yeah, this horse is going to be, this horse will be showing up today.
All right. Tomorrow.
I said Laura Lee, and it's very unlike Laura Lee, because Laura Lee can give a lot of wishy-washy answers. Like, she's a huge sweetheart. So she's going to give, if something, like, if the horse doesn't belong in this race, she's going to do her best she can to make the most. But she's like, he's ready. Like, nothing else was said after that. So I'm putting my faith in Laura Lee Glazer today or tomorrow for that Richard Small Stakes. Because I'm Cordmaker.
We love Cordmaker.
I love Cordmaker. I absolutely love this horse. I think Victor's, we've got Richard Monterey back in the saddle again. I'm just waiting for Victor to get better and get back on this horse, to be honest. He knows this horse like the back of his hand. So
I
absolutely noticed a difference, even though this is this horse's first time, you know, coming off of a very long layoff. Regardless, I saw something different, and I just love what I see always when I see Victor and Cordmaker together. So
yeah.
I'll be gearing back for that. But, yeah, I mean, don't sleep on the number three in that race.
Obviously, for those looking at this, you can scratch riding with Biden out, who ran yesterday. And
oh, I know what I was going to say. So we were talking about, sorry, Steve. We were talking about, I was talking with Laura Lee about taking the winter off. This is my first winter where I'm taking off and I'm feeling a bit weird about it. And we'll see how long I last. Keith still says I'll last about 2 weeks before I'm back in the saddle, which I won't be surprised with either. But I was talking about it with Laura Lee, and Laura Lee's like, oh my God, good for you. Like, good for you, girl. And I said, it's not like I've been, you know, into ride anything or a big, if I had a big horse, she's like, if it wasn't for American Doro, I would be taking the winter off as well. So that kind of says everything in a nutshell for how much faith Laura Lee's got in this horse.
Well, there you go, folks. More insight on Laura Lee Glazer that you didn't have. And we should mention,
Watch out for the braid in the race. You'll see it.
I love it. French braid.
No, just regular braid, because her hair is so long. Her hair is down. Hair is down to homegirl's waist. Like it'll be like a flag behind her. You'll see it.
That's great. That makes me think of, you know, Tony Black explaining how front running jocks untuck the silks so they flap in the wind, and it keeps other horses get intimidated by the noise and the flapping.
I love that though.
Yep.
I love it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's diabolical. I love it.
I don't know if it's the same with a braid, but that's what made me think of. I do have to say, Thomas Shelby could be winging on the front end here, no?
I mean, yes. Also that too, there's a lot. Thomas Shelby, I mean, don't mess with the Peaky Blinders. Let's see what Thomas Shelby on the outside can give us. Or not quite on the outside, but there's plenty. Like I said, there's gonna be, I feel like our nation is on parade is the horse to beat, but don't be surprised if something else like a Thomas Shelby, like an American Doro, come up and surprise you.
Well, you've put in the big case for American Doro. As Joe Hirsch famously said, root for the best story. That's the best story.
It's the best story, absolutely.
Well, and there you go. There's your three stakes. The sequence ends with a maiden 30, but the three stakes tomorrow at Laurel and the two today. And who are you doing? Who are you doing the paddock show with today?
So it's going to be Keith and I this morning, and then I am going to be stepping aside as host in the afternoon. Tim Tulloch's going to be hosting for the afternoon today, so it's going to be Keith and I, and then Tim and I in the afternoon.
Very good. And tomorrow, same schtick tomorrow?
Tomorrow, Tim Tulloch hosted a party of 18 last night, so he said, please let me host tomorrow. So I think I'll be back in the host seat for both in the morning and afternoon on Saturday.
There it is. Miss Francois.
Actually,
yes,
Tim, sorry. Keith is going to be on for this morning. Keith will not be on for the rest of the weekend. So it'll be both Tim and I, both in the morning and afternoon on Saturday. Sorry to interrupt your exit, Steve.
Not at all. Always happy to get a visit in with Callie Francois, Miss Francois to you, the number two you, on your Twitter. And nice. I'm glad we got
thank
the chance.
You.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Callie Francois, everybody. See you later. Always entertaining. And how about those insights that you didn't know? I didn't know about Laura Lee Glazer. That was new. Now you know the rest of the story. We're going to... Oh, we got James for, okay, James was in a meeting. He expired. Okay, no problem. Let me see. He had a 10:30 meeting that he forgot to let me know. Thank you. At least we know. And we'll get an answer immediately. Case, we'll take a break, too, and come back. We got Scully. Okay, so we'll get Scully in here now, top of the hour, then Hammer and Popo, hour three. It's the post-Thanksgiving, and I hope you had a great one, the post-Thanksgiving Twin Spires weekend preview, and the action is good. Scully next. Stay with us.
the latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently standing.